This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. In Florida, federal officials say they will give temporary housing to people who lost their homes in Hurricane Charley 10 days ago. You may recall that the hurricane veered off its predicted course and hit the town of Punta Gorda instead of going farther north as expected. Meteorologists are still trying to figure out why. Here's Florida Governor Jeb Bush.
You can't plan for the unforeseen. God doesn't follow the linear directions of computer models. And these are powerful storms that don't behave in any kind of way that you can say with certainty where they're going to go.
God may not follow computer models, but insurance companies sure do. They use the statistical analysis of risk management to try to lower their losses from disasters like Hurricane Charley. Day to Day's Eric Weiner adds up the numbers.
It's the age-old complaint about insurance companies. They're quick to collect your premiums, but slow to pay up when disaster strikes. State Farm is the largest insurer in Florida. Spokesman Kip Diggs says the company's catastrophe team was on the scene within 24 hours of Hurricane Charley, arriving in, what else, mobile catastrophe centers.
And these are two 53-foot-long semi-trailers that are just filled to the brim with all manner of electronic equipment, and they give the capability of setting up in an area in 6 hours and operating just as a regular claim office.
Diggs says State Farm has already received more than 50,000 claims, a number that is sure to grow in the coming days. State Farm says it will honor every legitimate claim with a smile, just like in the commercials. The insurance companies have been here before. In 1992, Hurricane Andrew cost them more than $15 billion and forced nearly a dozen firms out of business. That's not likely to happen this time around. For one thing, Hurricane Charley was not as devastating as Andrew, and the insurance companies have learned a lot of lessons in the past 12 years. Lesson one, charge higher premiums. Lesson two, don't insure too many people who live along the coast. Lesson three, hedge your bets. These days, insurance companies are themselves insured. So the industry is expected to weather Hurricane Charley just fine. In fact, more than fine. Their stock prices jumped 6% after Charley tore a path across Florida. Paul Vandermark, executive vice president of the consulting firm Risk Management Solutions, says in a strange way, disasters are good for the insurance industry.
Catastrophe events are a two-way street. On the one hand, they cause losses to insurance companies. On the other hand, they cause rates to increase. You see the highest periods of investment in the insurance industry typically being shortly after major catastrophes. So catastrophes play a critical role in the cycle of life of the insurance industry.
The problem, at least from an insurance company's point of view, is that these catastrophes don't happen often enough. Unlike, say, auto accidents, major earthquakes or hurricanes are statistically insignificant, though, of course, personally very significant if you happen to be caught in one. So the insurance companies rely on a handful of disaster prediction experts, people who spend their days thinking about the unthinkable, hurricanes, earthquakes, and now terrorist attacks. Firms like Risk Management Solutions use computer models to estimate the odds of a once-in-a-lifetime disaster happening in our lifetime. Of course, different parts of the country face different risks, as the company's Paul Vandermark explains.
You have earthquakes in the West Coast in particular, but you have earthquakes possible across most parts of the country. Hurricane risk, of course, exists up and down the entire East Coast. In the central part of the country, you have significant risk from tornado and hail. You have other risks like winter storm, ice storm, etc.
So where exactly would Vandermark send us for some peace of mind?
I would send you somewhere that probably not a lot of people want to live, because it's probably freezing cold or very barren or very hot.
So the most attractive places to live, places like Florida, California, and New York, are also the most dangerous. Yet that's a risk that apparently millions of people are willing to live with. Just ask your local insurance agent. I'm Eric Weiner for Day to Day.